ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter 11, text 31. Praya,
Praya,
Svabhava,
Svabhava,
Vihito,
Vihito,
Ninam,
Ninam,
Dharma,
Dharma,
Yuge, Yuge,
Yuge, Yuge,
Veda, Drigvi,
Veda, Drigvi,
Smita,
Smita,
Rajam,
Rajam,
Ritya,
Ritya,
Cha,
Cha,
Iha,
Iha,
Cha,
Cha,
Shamakrit,
Shamakrit,
Praya Svabhava Vihito,
Praya Svabhava Vihito,
Ninam Dhamo Yuge Yuge,
Ninam Dhamo Yuge Yuge,
Veda Dribbi Smrito Rajam,
Veda Dribbi Smrito Rajam,
Pritya-cheha, Pritya-cheha, Chasamakrit,
Pritya-cheha, Chasamakrit,
Praya-svabhava-vihito,
Praya-svabhava-vihito,
Inam-dhamo-yuge-yuge,
Inam-dhamo-yuge-yuge,
Vira-dribbhi-smrito-rajan,
Vira-dribbhi-smrito-rajan,
Pritya-cheha, Chasamakrit, Praya svabhava vihito,
Praya svabhava vihito,
Ninam dhamo yuge yuge,
Ninam dhamo yuge yuge,
Veda dribbhi smrito rajam,
Veda dribbhi smrito rajam,
Pritya cheha cha shamakrit,
Pritya cheha cha shamakrit,
Praya,
Praya,
generally. Svabhava vihita,
Svabhava vihita,
prescribed according to one's material modes of nature. Ninam of human society. Dharma,
Dharma,
the occupational duty.
Yuge
yuge,
yuge yuge,
in every age.
In every age.
Veda Drigvi,
Veda Drigvi,
by Brahmins well conversant in the Vedic knowledge. Smita,
Smita,
recognize.
Recognize.
Rajan,
Rajan,
O King.
O King.
Pritya,
Pritya,
after death.
After death.
Cha,
Cha,
and.
And.
Iha,
Iha.
Here in this body,
Cha,
Cha, also, Shamakrit,
Shamakrit,
auspicious.
Auspicious.
Translation: my dear King, Brahmins well conversant in Vedic knowledge have given their verdict that in every age, the conduct of different sections of people according to the material modes of nature is auspicious both in this life and after death. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 3:35 it is said, Shreyan Svadharmo Vihuna Paradharmat Svanushtita. It is far better to discharge one's prescribed duties, even though they may be faulty, than another's duties. The Antyajas, the men of the lower classes, are accustomed to stealing, drinking, and illicit sex, but that is not considered sinful. For example, if a tiger kills a man, this is not sinful, but if a man kills another man, this is considered sinful and the killer is hanged. What is a daily affair among the animals is a sinful act in human society. Thus, according to the symptoms of higher and lower sections of society, there are different varieties of occupational duties. According to the experts of Vedic knowledge, these duties are prescribed in terms of the age concerned. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnana Svataya Chakshu Vimini Shimate Bhakti Vidanta Swamati Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Mogravani Vicharani Niyadishisha Shanyavari Pashtari Shitarani Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Bhakti Vidarta Shivasani Yoga Bhaktavina Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Is this the actual section you're on of the Bhagavatam?
Is
this game? Yes? I know Shiva Maharaj is speaking about the Vanasha. So this is the chapter, The Perfect Society, Four Social Classes. And this verse, interesting verse, this verse emphasizes the necessity of one performing his duty according to his particular status in life. And Prabhupada quotes the verse in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita that it is better to discharge one's own prescribed duties, even though faulty, than another's duties. We'll discuss that verse and the meaning of that verse in a moment, but there are some other things in the purport I wanted to address first. At a cursory look at this purport, one may think, well, it's pretty advantageous to be an outcast. Because those who are in the lower classes, they're accustomed to stealing, drinking, the illicit sex, but it's not considered sinful. And then Prabhupada even goes on to explain that if a tiger kills a human being, it's not sinful. But if a human kills a human being, that's sinful. But there's always no one that's 8 o'clock there. But it's actually, if you read the previous purport, Prabhupada clarifies that a bit. And he says in the previous purport that among the people of the lower classes, drinking wine, intermarriage are allowed, for these people do not recognize such conduct as sinful among themselves. Very previous verse, purport, at the end of the purport. So they're outcasts. They're outside Varnashram. They have no duties within Varnashram. So among themselves, it's natural to behave that way because they don't follow any duties. Yes. So among themselves, they think it's natural. It's not sinful. But it doesn't mean that it's not sinful, according to the understanding of Varnashram. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Harinam Chintamani, he actually even explains that those who are antyajas, or those who are outside Varnashram, if they want to avoid reactions to sinful life, they better step in and take a position of a sudra in Varnashram. In fact, I think I have the verse. Yes. Outcast persons and persons of mixed birth should renounce all degraded activities and accept the role of sudras in this material. Outcasts and persons of mixed birth should accept the role of sudras because without the four varnas, one cannot be pious in the world of birth and death. So it means an outcast by very nature is sinful. And therefore, there are so many sinful reactions which they may not be punished for within the outcast society, but in the laws of karma, they'll be punished. So one should not foolishly think that it's advantageous to be an outcast, and therefore I don't have to worry about committing sinful activities. So, but in fact, there are many, in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, there is actually a description between, because Krishna and Uddhava, where he describes the four varnas and he describes the characteristics of those who are outside Varnashram. It's 11th canto, 17th chapter, 20th verse. Asaucham anrittam steyam nastikyam sushka vigraha kama krodas chatarshascha svabhavam tavasayanam. Dirtiness, dishonesty, thievery, faithlessness, useless quarrel, lust, anger, and hankering that constitute the nature of those in the lowest position outside the varnashram system. So that's what it means to be outside varnashram. And in fact, in his instructions to Uddhava, Krishna recommends that even if you're in that position and you don't and not punished for it, he highly recommends you try to become a little more pious and to avoid these types of sinful activities for which there are sinful reactions. So that's, of course, for the antavashayi, as described in the previous verse, or who are the chandalas, dog eaters. And the antyajas are those who are like the mixed castes. They don't belong to any particular caste, but they're mixed castes and their behaviors describe it as this nature. Of course, even those who are outcasts can come to platform of devotional service, even transcend varnashram. And there are many verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam which give evidence to that. Kiratahu Nanja Pulinda Pukasha, for instance, second canto of Bhagavatam, which describes all these different castes of people who are considered to be outcasts, lower classes of society. And even those addicted to the most sinful activities, they can all become purified by taking shelter of a devotee of the Lord. This is due to the power of the Lord and the power of the devotee's devotional service. They can become immediately elevated and purified. Another verse spoken by Devahuti, a whole bhatta swapacho tol kariyan, yajivahe vartate namastubhyam. Oh, how glorious are they, whose tongues are decorated with your holy name. Even if one is born in a family of dog-eaters, outcast, he is considered to have performed all kinds of sacrifices in his previous life, visited all kinds of sacred places of pilgrimage, and to have manifested all the qualities of Aryan, simply for one whose tongue is decorated with your name. So there is many scriptural evidences given in the Bhagavad. I think there is another verse spoken by Devahuti. She says that even if one is born outside, if he's chanting the holy name of the Lord, he's immediately qualified to perform all kinds of Vedic sacrifices. Oh, Haridas Thakur, Brahmacharya of the holy name, born as a Muslim, which is considered to be outside Varnashram institution. But yet, he's the Brahmacharya of the holy name of the Lord. So I'm sure if I were to probe a little bit, I'm sure many of you could even come up with verses that I haven't thought of yet, which give evidence of the power of the devotees of the Lord and the holy name of the Lord. That one can become immediately elevated simply by their association. So of course, sometimes when we hear quotes like that, then we begin to think, well, I'm chanting the holy name of the Lord, therefore I must be immediately elevated. But as we know, that is not necessarily the case. It's such immediate purification and the freedom from the reactions to past sinful life are not all immediately eradicated. And therefore, there are various instructions given for how one can be gradually elevated to come to the transcendental platform. And that is what this verse is actually speaking about. This verse is speaking about that those who are within Varnashram, they can actually become elevated and make progress in their next life simply by performing the duties prescribed to them according to their particular position. Because the system of Varnashram is Chaturvanya Maya Shristam Kuna Kama Vibhagasha, Krishna says these four orders of society, they were created by me. And they meant for gradual elevation of those who are still embodied and still, to some degree, have not been liberated from the conception of the material body. And in fact, in Krishna's instructions to Uddhava, he also
quotes the verse, and I think it was Lord Chaitanya's instructions also to Rupa Goswami, he quotes the same verse, that if one has not awakened his taste for hearing and chanting the glories of the holy name of the Lord, then it is recommended that he must purify his existence by following the Vedic injunctions according to the rules and regulations of Varnashram. So, naturally, to follow one's prescribed duties according to one's position in life is as a means for gradual purification and gradual elevation to the platform of becoming a Vaishnava. And here in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is quoting the verse from the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And that is what, the third chapter, 35th verse?
Yes.
Shreyan svardhamo vibhuna paradhamat svanushta tat svardhame hiranam shreya parodhamo ayyavaha. It is far better to discharge one's prescribed duties, even though faultily, than another's duties perfectly. Destruction in the course of performing one's own duty is better than engaging in another's duties. For to follow another's path is dangerous. In fact, the word that's used here is paradhamma. Paradhamma is actually considered to be irreligious activity. Paradhamma means to perform somebody else's duty. It's considered irreligious. And in the same instructions given in the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, there's a verse from the 15th chapter, 12th verse. If you have 15th chapter there?
Yeah.
Okay. Where it describes five branches of irreligious activity. Vidharma paradhammas cha abhasa upama chala adhamma shakha panchema dharma gyo dharmavat tyajit. There are five branches of irreligion, appropriately known as irreligion or vidharma. Religious principles for which one is unfit, paradhamma. Pretentious religion, abhasa. Analogical religion, upadharma. And cheating religion, chaladharma. One who is aware of real religious life must abandon these five as irreligious. So paradhamma is considered to be irreligious activity. To perform somebody else's duty because it looks like it's a more glorious duty. Looks like it's a duty that's I'd be happier doing. There are so many types of subtle influences that one become affected by the desire to do somebody else's duty rather than do one's own duty. And in this verse, it's described as irreligious activity for which there are consequences. That's why Prabhupada says it's dangerous. It's far better to perform one's own duty, even if with some fault. It's not as dangerous to perform somebody else's duty, even though you think you can do it better. So vidharma is irreligion. Paradhamma is engaging in others' religious duties. Yes. Abhasa means to make a show of religious principles. It's called irreligion. To make it look like I'm really doing everything right. But it's just a show. In fact, Prahlad Maharaj, he tells that to his classmates. He says, even if you're expert Brahmins, you form all kinds of Vedic sacrifices, but if there's no love for Krishna, it's all simply a show. So this is Abhas, which is meant to make a show of religious principles. Upadhamma means practicing religious principles that only look like they're religious principles, but they're not. And Chaladhamma is to practice a whole religious system which is simply a cheating religion. So, therefore, this paradhamma is one of those five types of irreligious principles. Irreligious principles, excuse me. So, here in this 35th verse of the third chapter, Krishna is speaking about paradhamma. Actually, it makes me think. Last night, somebody came up and asked me a question after the talk. In fact, it was at the one point who just left. probably had to go someplace else. He asked me a question. He asked me two questions. First question is if one does some kind of religious activity and helps somebody, he said one should try to avoid becoming proud of that. What happens if one feels proud of that activity? He says, is it good? And then I explained to him that no, we can become devoid of pride by acting according to higher order and being conscious of our subordinate position. And then after that, he asked another question. He says, is it okay to feel important? And I explained to him, yes, of course it's okay to feel important. Everyone should feel that they've been given a duty to please Krishna, and that's important. Because it's meant for pleasing Krishna, therefore it's important. And if the duty is given to me, I become important if I do it. So immediately I become important by doing the duty that's given to me. In this way, everyone can be important. Nothing wrong with feeling important. But what happens when that important duty that we've been given to do, we don't do it? Because we think somebody else's duty is better. That important duty that we've been given to do, which was so important, and we're not there to do it because we're thinking, I want to do somebody else's. There's a vacuum created. I'm supposed to be there doing some important duty, but I've created a vacuum by doing somebody else's duty that I thought I could do better than my own. That's exactly what Krishna was preaching to Arjuna. You're trying to do the Brahmin's duty. You're trying to be non-violent. But you have an important duty to perform for me. You're trying to renounce your important duty and you're trying to go off to the forest to live by begging. There's going to be a big vacuum there if you disappear. You have an important duty. And the whole teaching of Bhagavad Gita was to convince Arjuna that his duty was important. And it's better to perform your duty, even with some fault, than to perform somebody else's duty, which is you think is better. So Prabhupada gives a very interesting... What time am I supposed to end? I always do this. 8:30?
Yes.
Okay, I'll do it by 8:30. I think I can do it.
You can go longer.
So Prabhupada... In the commentary, do you have it there?
335.
335, yeah.
Yes.
He said, one should therefore discharge his prescribed duties in full Krishna consciousness rather than those prescribed for others. Materially prescribed duties are duties enjoined according to one's psychophysical condition under the spell of the modes of material nature. Spiritual duties are as ordered by the spiritual master for the transcendental service of Krishna.
Yes.
I was making a distinction between material duties and spiritual duties. Material duties are those duties which are meant to be performed according to what Prabhupada uses here, the word psychophysical nature, which means according to the four vanas. They are those duties which are prescribed according to one's particular nature. And when one is in executing those duties within the Varnashram system, he is meant to execute those duties even if it's difficult to perform. Krishna gives instructions how that one should not renounce his duty, thinking it to be too difficult. That's renunciation in the mode of, what is it, passion? Yes, renunciation in the mode of passion. That I have these duties to perform within the social system, and if it's too difficult, I won't do it, and that's false renunciation. Then he says, spiritual duties are ordered by the spiritual master for the transcendental service of Krishna. Now this is sometimes not so easy to put together. How to differentiate between material duties and spiritual duties when we're under the conception that all duties are given to me under the instructions of the spiritual master. But it's interesting to note in commentaries, I think it's maybe Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary to this verse in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says it again to Arjuna.
It
says the exact same thing again. He explains that for one who has transcended Varnashram, then by transcending Varnashram, then he's on the spiritual platform. And therefore, devashi putakta ninam patrinam nam kinkano nayamani charajan saratmana yasharana sharanyam katopu kuntam parithit chakartum. That anyone who's completely surrendered to Krishna He's no longer obliged to anyone else. He's not obliged to the demigods, forefathers, the previous sages, humanity, kinsmen. He's not obliged to any of them because he's surrendered to Krishna. So for anyone who's completely surrendered to Krishna, he's actually transcended all his obligations to everyone. It almost may seem like he could forget about doing his prescribed duty because he's transcendental. And therefore he has no prescribed duties to perform. But even those who are on a transcendental position, for the sake of teaching others, they still accept prescribed duties. And even Krishna says, I do it myself. Because if everyone followed me, then the whole place would be put to complete ruination if I didn't perform my duty. So even if one is transcendental, still they perform prescribed duties for the sake of teaching others. But they're not bound by those duties. Not bound by those duties, it means they don't have to execute those duties for purification. They're already purified. But for the most part, most living entities are still bound. And they should not imitate somebody who's on the transcendental platform. Therefore, they should perform their prescribed duties and they should follow the examples of even transcendental personalities who teach by their example how to execute prescribed duties. In fact, there are examples that for one who's in a transcendental position, they can even accept the varna of somebody else if it's needed. Parashuram is an example of that. He's transcendental, but he accepted another varna. There are other examples. So they may accept, and it's not considered to be sinful. It's not paradharma, because they're transcendental. But if one is not transcendental, then he's bound to have to perform his duties. And they are called his svadharma. Svadharma means it's his own dharma. It's his own nature. He has to perform it. For a person who's on the transcendental platform, his svadharma is devotional service. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually explains this in Chaitanya Shikshamrita. He says, because a person who's on a transcendental platform, his svadharma is bhakti. If he simply performs some external duty and becomes attached to it, that's called paradharma. It's performing another's duty. Because he's on the transcendental position and he shouldn't do somebody else's duty who's not in the transcendental position. So these are, of course, these are personalities whose cannot be imitated in any way. So generally, those who are within the system of Varnashram, they have their particular prescribed duties. And we already explained why it's better to perform one's own duties, which are prescribed to them, than to perform another duties, another person's duty. So Prabhupada goes on to explain, in this purport, whether material or spiritual wants to stick to his prescribed duties even up to death, rather than imitate another's prescribed duties. I think it's also Chaitanya Shikshamrita, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this principle also, that if one dies executing his duties, then his next death and his next birth will always be auspicious. I think he gives the example of Kshatriyas killed in the battlefield. And when a Kshatriya is killed on the battlefield executing his duty, automatically he gets destination to higher planets. So, to die is an expression in English, I don't know if it's translatable into Hungarian, in the saddle. To die in the saddle means like to die doing what you're supposed to be doing. It will always lead to an auspicious destiny. So, Prabhupada's saying here, therefore, one should perform his prescribed duties up to death. They're one's prescribed duties, and they're important. I remember one lecture Prabhupada gave in Los Angeles. I can't remember what year it was. Prabhupada was giving an example. He said that it is very important that one should perform the duties which are given by the spiritual master. He said that, however, if one finds difficulties in performing one's duties, then he said, under the sanction of the spiritual master, he can do another duty. And that duty will be good for him. The Prabhupada made the point very clear that it's not to be whimsically renounced. Krishna says very clearly, the 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, one who acts whimsically, doesn't follow his duties. What is that? Vasavidhim apakati, nasukam naparangati. He can achieve neither happiness, nor perfection, nor the supreme destination. If he acts whimsically, giving up his duty, and doesn't follow the duties prescribed, he can neither happiness, not there, no perfection, nor parangati, the supreme destination. So therefore one should stick to his prescribed duties even up to death, rather than imitate another's prescribed duties. It's a long purport. I don't think I'll be able to go through all of it, but I've covered, I think, the essential part about the difference between what is paradhamma, which is actually what this verse today was all about, that one should, my dear king, Brahmins well conversant in Vedic knowledge have given their verdict that in every age or yuga, the conduct of different sections of people according to their material modes of nature is auspicious both in this life and after death. Any questions?
But we're saying that someone is performing someone else's duty and they're doing it so well, it seems to contradict that our duty is according to our nature, because if that's something that we can do so well, that seems to be according to our nature.
What's the question?
How is it possible that that is not your duty, that's something that you can do so well?
Oh, well, that's the question. Well, it could be somebody's been prescribed the wrong duty. But then again, it depends who prescribed it. Because if one's, the duty has been prescribed by one spiritual master, then it's transcendental. Or it's meant to be for the transcendental service of Krishna. And for the transcendental service of Krishna, there's only one duty. Service to Krishna. That's only one duty. And therefore, if one has been given some transcendental service for Krishna, although it maybe seems to be it's not one's nature, then fortunate is that person who's been entrusted with such service. And as Prabhupada says, if he's always conscious of his lack of qualification to do it, and always fully dependent of his subordinate position to the Lord, then whatever he does will be done perfectly, because it's done in the right consciousness. That's third canto of the Bhagavatam. I can't remember. Brahma's prayers for creative potency. Prabhupada in the commentary describes that this, one should always think himself to be unqualified. And what better way to think oneself to be unqualified is if one sees I'm not qualified. But somehow Krishna's putting me in this situation. And therefore, as Prabhupada states in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita? The verse I always quote. 18th chapter. A very, very important commentary. This Bhagavad Gita is defective. It ends with chapter 15. Did anybody know that?
It's the Bhagavatam.
The Bhagavatam. I'm defective. Immediately to the verse, amazing. Despite my defective nature, I should have
known right to the
exact verse. How did it happen? Prabhupada says in the purport, 1857, where Krishna says, and all activities depend upon me, work always under my protection, such devotional service be fully conscious of it. Prabhupada said the word Sanskrit word matpara is very important in this verse. It indicates that one has no goal in life save and except acting in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna. And while working in that way, one should think of Krishna only. Quote, I have been appointed to discharge this particular duty by Krishna. While acting in such a way, one naturally has to think of Krishna. This is perfect Krishna consciousness. One should, however, note that after doing something whimsically, he should not offer the result to the Supreme Lord. That sort of duty is not in the devotional service of Krishna consciousness. One should act according to the order of Krishna. This is a very important point. That order of Krishna comes in disciplic succession from the bona fide spiritual master. Therefore, the spiritual master's order should be taken as the prime duty of life. Did that answer your question?
Partially.
Partially. Which part wasn't answered?
Varnashram. Varnashram duties.
Well, as I said, that if one is... I'm not talking about Varnashram in answering that question. I'm talking about...
Yes, devotional service.
Devotional service. Yes. Within Varnashram, that's a different... But it's always that gray area, what's within Varnashram and what's outside Varnashram. And it really depends on the consciousness of the person who's engaging in that duty. It's not black and white. And most times, most persons don't have that transcendental consciousness. And for those devoid of that transcendental consciousness, it is better they be engaged in the prescribed duty. And is it better that somebody who knows how to engage them, engages them? Because that is also Varnashram. Right? That the candidate should be studied, his quality should be examined, and his tendency should be dovetailed. And it's not that they're given a particular duty always out of expedience. That's not Varnashram. To get to that organization, Varnashram organization, that's beyond my ability to tell anybody how to get there. I'm just trying to quote references from scripture. Which is my duty. Hare Krishna, I think we should end here. Although it's a Srila Prabhupada.